on 1116 SEN, Sunday Sports Central with Jack Heverin.
26 past one here on Sunday Sports Central, 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. In a little over an hour from now, we will take you to the VFL where Port Melbourne play host to Footscray in finals football in the VFL. Let's talk cricket now. Tom Morris from Fox Sports joins us to break down the Bangladesh series, but also to talk about the wicket-keeping position to start with, Tommy. Good afternoon to you, because Matthew Wade's name, as well as he kept behind the stumps in Bangladesh, there seems to now be a lot of pressure on him to get runs at the start of the Sheffield Shield season.
Yeah, good afternoon to you, Jack. It's a really interesting one, the wicket-keeping position. I think of all the various selection debates, and there'll be a couple before the Ashes, the number three position, I think Khawaja is going to come back in, but he's not a lock, and then number six with Maxwell, or do you want a pace bowling all-rounder? Then, depending on which fast bowlers are fit there, that's going to be an interesting discussion as well. But certainly the wicket-keeping debate will be the most hotly contested, because with three Shield games before the Ashes are meant to start, all wicket-keepers around the country will have a good chance to put their name forward. And at this point, Wade is the man, but he's certainly not rock solid in that position. And you'd think if a young keeper like Alex Carey, or for a recycled keeper like Peter Neville, could actually make some runs in two or even three of those Shield games, they'd be putting a lot of pressure on Matthew Wade. Because, yeah, you're right, as good as his keeping was in the second test, I think that's probably just the standard that we expect from an Australian wicketkeeper. It wasn't amazing. It was simply just probably better than what he's delivered in the past. But we all know runs, they camouflage poor keeping. So if the wicketkeeper's making runs at number seven, you can sort of cop the odd drop catch or the odd miss stumping if they're quite irregular, so long as they're actually making some runs and contributing with a bat. The reality is Wade hasn't contributed with a bat for a very long time, and nor did he contribute with a bat for Victoria before he got in the test team. So he's under a lot of pressure, and probably rightly so.
And from what we understand, Tom, he's basically admitted to the players within the group and to the coaching staff as well that he knows he's under the pump.
Yeah, I think he'd have to be stupid not to. And Stephen Smith said it as well, that Matthew Wade is under the pump to make some runs. It's going to be really intriguing to see what they do. They're going to wait for the Shield season, and they're going to wait and see what happens in those first three games. There's a few options. Alex Carey, who I mentioned, South Australia, is a really good young keeper, but he's only young. And do you want to bring him in for an Ashes series cold? Probably not. Peter Neville's been there and done that. He's a better keeper than Matthew Wade. He's made more Shield runs, but his international record is pretty ordinary. And he's not as dynamic in terms of his attitude and his demeanour and that sort of gruff look that the Australian selectors are looking for with a keeper. And then you've got another couple of guys around the place, like Tim Payne, who's not even playing Shield cricket, but he's in Australia's T20 team. And probably the last option, the one that is probably best for team balance, but it's a little bit of a risk, is Peter Hanscom. Do you want to give him the gloves? He's a part-time keeper. He can do it. If you're going to give him the gloves, doing it on Australian soil is probably the right place to do it, because it does carry through and it is quite nice to keep. But you also don't want to diminish his role with a bat, and whether that makes him drop to number six, there's so many different options that his selectors have to consider, and all will be decided in the Shield game. But I reckon at the moment, probably the only three options are Wade to stay on, Hanscom take the gloves, or Peter Neville to come back in.
With Hanscom, Tom, is there a concern that by making him or giving him the gloves that it's going to add extra responsibility when he realistically hasn't completely locked away that spot in the top six yet?
I think that's a very real concern. He averages in the high 40s in Test cricket, and he's made a lot of starts in the subcontinent without going on. His innings I think it was 84 in the most recent Test match was brilliant, and probably worthy of 100 had he not got run out trying to get David Warner to his ton. There's a concern around that for all wicketkeeper batsmen at various times, especially Peter Hanscom, who has been reluctant to take the gloves on a full-time basis on various occasions for both his state club and now his country. If you look back to other keeper batsmen around the world, Kumar Sangakkara gave away the gloves for a long period of time to focus on his batting. And then you've got genuine keeper batsmen down at number seven, like Gilchrist was and Pryor for England. And then you've got a bloke like Luke Ronchi for New Zealand and for Australia before then, who was terrific at the top of the order and down the middle and the bottom of the order as well. So and AB de Villiers is the other example that gave away the gloves and is a reluctant keeper. My take with Hanscom is it's just going to be up to him. If he says, yep, I'll keep, then I think they're probably more likely to give him the gloves. But I don't know. I'd be very wary of that, because you're right, he hasn't established his spot in that middle order quite yet. He's going to be playing the Ashes, but Whether keeping affects his batting, well, we'll have to wait and see.
We mentioned Usman Khawaja earlier. When Steve Smith walks to the toss on November 23 at the Gabba and he hands the team sheet to Joe Root, will Usman Khawaja be a certainty to be at number three, or does he still have a bit that he needs to do at the start of the Shield season?
I think he's got a little bit he needs to do. I think if they were playing an Ashes test match tomorrow at the Gabba, well, first of all, swinging around a little bit in these human conditions, but I think Khawaja would be a lock at number three. But if Khawaja doesn't make any runs in the first, well, in the Shield game that we spoke about before the series, his spot potentially could be in a little bit of jeopardy. But I find it very hard to see him not making runs because he is such a good player in these conditions. So I think he's going to be number three. Smith will slot back down to number four and Hanscom will be at five. And then six and seven are really a little bit of a lottery. And then it depends which bowlers are fit, but Nathan Lyon will be a lock and Renshaw and Warner at the top of the order as well.
Tom Morris from Fox Sports chatting to us here on Sunday Sports Central on 11:16 SEN. Tom, where does Hilton Cartwright fit into the scheme of things? I think a lot of people were surprised that he didn't bowl more in the second test in the Bangladesh series. After all, he was brought in to do exactly that. Is he someone that the Australian selectors genuinely believe can be part of the future because he's the right age, or is he really just filling a hole when it's required?
It's so fascinating to think of what Hilton Cartwright is and what he could be. My take is the Australian selectors see him as a future test player, and they've just picked and choose the right time to put him in there and give him that opportunity, that blood. But I very highly doubt whether he'll play in the Ashes. And so he played at the SCG against Pakistan in what was a dead rubber, really. Would already won the first two test matches. And then he was already over there by circumstance. Hazel gets injured. We need to make a few changes. He comes in to play against Bangladesh. But I'd be very surprised if he plays in the Ashes. I'll also be surprised if he's ever a genuine all-rounder, because he just doesn't bowl quick enough. He bowls 120 k's an hour, and really at test level, that just doesn't cut it. You could be a part-timer at best at that, with that pace. He's going to end up being a batsman, and if his batting is good enough, he'll play test cricket as a batsman. He's a very talented young player. The other thing as well, there's a bit of PR to this from Cricket Australia. There's no doubt about that, because the academy that they put through, the Matador Cup, that's got so much criticism over the last couple of years. Hilton Cartwright's been a part of that, and he's the first graduate from that academy, that underage group of talented young players to go in and play test cricket. And there's no doubt in my mind that it looks good for Cricket Australia if Hilton Cartwright's playing test cricket, because they can say, look, this works. Not saying he's not worthy of it. He's a talented young player, but he certainly doesn't have the runs on the board to justify a spot over maybe some more experienced Shield cricketers ahead of the Ashes.
Well, he's going to be somewhere in around that mark where Glenn Maxwell probably wants to be. What does Glenn Maxwell need to do to lock away that spot for the first test?
I don't think it matters what he does with bowling in the Shield games. I think he just needs to make runs in those Shield games. If he makes enough runs, they can't ignore him. They're going to say, look, we've got, let's just say, imagine we've got Stark, we've got Hazelwood, and then one of Pattinson or Cummins, or three of those four. We don't need another all-rounder at six. Those fast bowlers are three of the best fast bowlers in the world. Nathan Lyon's in career-best form with the ball. We've got Steve Smith doing well with some leg spin. We don't need a Mitch Marsh at number six, presuming Maxwell is making lots of runs in the Shield games. If he's dominating Shield games for Victoria before then, well, he's going to just walk into number six and he'll be cherry ripe for the Ashes. And wouldn't that be great? Because he's a match winner, he's a crowd pleaser, and there's no doubt our team is better with him in it when he's at his best, because he can take a game away from the opposition. But he struggled a lot, not in recent times, but over the course of his career, because the middle order's been so brittle. He needs a strong number seven to help him get through his innings. He had a reasonable Bangladesh tour. He made a couple of starts, but he didn't quite lock it away. That 100 in India has meant that he got those test matches. But Darren Lehman admitted after the Bangladesh series himself that Glenn Maxwell isn't a lock to start at number six. But I reckon, given a couple of good Shield matches before the Ashes, he'll start at number six and he'll have a very good Ashes series, because he's one of those big game players. And he should be at the prime of his career. He's in his late 20s. He's a very good fielder. He's been around the block now. I can't see any reason why a fit and firing Glenn Maxwell wouldn't be part of Australia's Test 11 all summer.
And do you think as well that there's a fear factor element with Glenn Maxwell as opposed to some of the other candidates? Because exactly like you said before, that Glenn Maxwell can take a game away from you really quickly?
Yeah, we need X factor. And any Test team would love some X factor. So if you look at England's Test team, clearly their biggest X factor, and arguably the biggest X factor in the world, probably the most valuable player in the world at the present time is a bloke called Ben Stokes, who's an all-rounder who's just taken the world by storm. He's an Andrew Flintoff-like bowler and an Adam Gilchrist-like batsman, and that's two players in one. If we can somewhat counter that with our own number six, which would be Glenn Maxwell, who can potentially make 80 off 80 balls or even more at a run of ball, then that would go a long way to us winning the Test match. If we just have a plotter at number six and a Peter Neville, who's a nice batsman but not necessarily aggressive at number seven, then that's giving England a big leg up. I mean, we've got to remember that England's biggest attribute, aside from Joe Root at number four, is their 6, 7, and 8. Their Bairstow, Stokes and Ali little middle order rotation gives them great flexibility, gives them great balance with bat and ball, and we don't have that. So that's why we need Maxwell as well to counter what England have, which I think is absolutely crucial ahead of the Ashes.
And speaking of Patrick Cummins, I think a lot of us probably got a bit concerned in that second test, particularly on day one where we saw him bowling and bowling and bowling and bowling, because we all know how good this guy can be, but it's a question of his body because it's let him down so often. Are the reports, Tom, that he's pulled up okay from this tour?
Yeah, the reports are that he's pulled up well, which is terrific news. I'm like you, Jack. I was really worried when he was the only pace bowler selected for the second test. I thought, gee, he's going to be driven into the ground here. And then when you saw that it was 45 degrees, it was even more concerning. But I think Steve Smith handled him quite well. A lot of the spinners bowled most of the overs, and rightly so. Those are the conditions. Cummins is a superstar. I was talking to someone earlier, if you project 10 or 15 years forward, I can see Steve Smith being an all-time great. He already probably is. But Patrick Cummins, if he stays fit, could be an all-time great as well. We just need him to stay fit. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they manage him before that Ashes series, how much Shield cricket he plays, because him, Hazelwood, Stark and Pattinson between them are four of the most fearsome fast bowlers in the world. And I think Cummins is probably the best of them in the long run. Stark is brilliant, but Cummins doesn't need a new ball to dominate, whereas Stark is probably much more valuable with that new Kookaburra ball.
And Tom, just before I let you go, we need to know the enemy, because November 23 will sneak around pretty quickly. England have just locked away the series against the West Indies. They had that little minor, I guess, roadblock in the second test where they played awful, to be honest, but they've got back to their best in that third test, and Jimmy Anderson is bowling beautifully at the moment.
Well, it's amazing. Jimmy Anderson has 500 test wickets, and he's probably only, if he stays fit, maybe a year, 18 months away from going past Glenn McGrath, which would be sickening, because Glenn McGrath is as good as it gets. And I can't imagine James Anderson having more test wickets than Glenn McGrath, but it's possible, although he's unlikely to get there in the Ashes, which is good news. So Anderson, I mean, England's a bit like us. Their best six are terrific. Our best six are terrific. But then both teams drop away, which is what makes this Ashes really interesting to look at and to assess. Because if you look at their batting order, they've got Cook as an opener, who's terrific, doesn't really have a partner. Root at four, but no real number three. They got Stokes, Bairstow and Ali, who we spoke about, and then Stuart Broad and Jimmy Anderson with the ball. But the rest, you could pretty much pick anyone from county cricket and just slot them in there and hope they do okay. And we're not too dissimilar. We're really lacking a number seven at the moment. Glenn Maxwell's not solid at number six. Khawaja isn't solid at number three. So there's a few holes in both teams, but certainly England are going to be a challenge, and I expect them to perform well in the Ashes. But whether that equates Test match wins, we'll have to wait and see. But Ben Stokes is their key. There's no doubt about that.
Tom, thanks for your time this afternoon. Always great to catch up.
No worries, Jack. Speak to you soon, mate.
Tom Morris joining us from Fox Sports here on Sunday Sports Central. On the other side of this, we'll get a bit of a preview of what's going on this afternoon. We will bring you all of the VFL coverage live here on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. And up next, Pete Mercado, part of our commentary team, to join us here on 1116 SEN.